The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
A wonderful blessing. Take your Bible, please, as we study tonight, the Holy Spirit and our prayer life. I think it's good as believers that we learn more about the Holy Spirit. I think it's very important that we know Him for who He is. The book of Romans chapter 8, as I read a moment ago in verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." Look in verse 27, the Bible says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now let's notice tonight some things about the Holy Spirit. By the way, as you study a person, you get to know them. You might examine them. You might study them to the point and to the place you know what their favorites are. You might study them to the point and the place where you know some things that kind of irritate them and they don't like. As you study a person and as you walk beside them, you get to understand their personality. You get to understand the depth of their knowledge, the depth of their wisdom. You get to see what they are focused on, the very intents of their heart. And so it is with the Holy Spirit as we study Him. Statement number one tonight, the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. The Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." You know, as a young Christian, I think it's very important we learn two things. Number one, how to get things from God. Number two, how to share those things that God has given us. God has been good to us, but we don't need to hoard it. We don't need to be able to say it's all mine. Oh no, we need to learn as young believers, and most people that's mature and older believers, if you will, in Christ, have already grasped the concept of how to get things from God and then how to share those things once God gives them to you. But as a young believer, it would be good to do. Well, how is it that we get things from God? Well, all throughout the Bible, you see that prayer is asking. Prayer is not giving praise, it's asking. Prayer is not giving thanksgiving, though you should, but that's not prayer. Prayer is asking. Prayer is not giving adoration, though you should, along with that which is praise. But every time you see the word pray in the Bible, are praying, it is always connected with that which is asking. So the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. Don't you thank God tonight there's somebody that knows God better than you do, better than I do. Don't you thank God tonight that there's somebody that knows the Bible better than you do and better than I do. Because of that, we can rely on Him as our prayer partner as we enter into that which is the ministry of prayer. Statement number one, I said the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. Statement number two, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. In your Bible, you'll see Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, where the Bible says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The word intercession, if you were to study the word there in verse 26, and also the same word in verse 27, has two total different meanings. The word intercession here is not the same word when translated. You'll see this in verse 26. It means this as far as definition is concerned. Verse 26 is talking about the Holy Spirit goes with us, goes with us. Now, thank God, a part of intercession is the fact that He goes with us. In other words, you do not have to go before the throne of grace by yourself. You do not have to go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy by yourself. Matter of fact, you don't have to live your Christian life by yourself. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete. He's the one that goes beside us. He's the one, if you will, that will be our private tutor. He's the one that will bring Scripture, as you already know, as we studied in Lesson 1, back to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is your best friend to be able to understand the very mind and the heart of God. So in verse 26, as we speak of the Holy Spirit using the word intercession, we see that He is the one that goes with us. Now, I don't know all my needs. You don't know all your needs. But don't you thank God there's a Holy Spirit that knows your needs more than you know your needs. You see, He is the one that knows you better than you know yourself. The Holy Spirit does know everything I need. And the Holy Spirit is there to help me to understand the things that I need, whereby He helps me to understand how to pray. As I walk with God, the Holy Spirit reveals unto me my needs. How many times have you heard a sermon? How many times have you heard a lesson? How many times have you heard somebody talk? How many times have you heard somebody read the Bible? How many times have you read the Bible yourself and through one of those vessels, if you will, or one of those modes, you saw something that God spoke to you about? God revealed a change that you needed to make, a direction that you needed to go, something that you needed to start, something that you needed to stop. Now, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and using it as a tool to be able to guide us and give us wisdom in our individual lives. So we know this, that the Holy Spirit, here's what He does. He shows me what my needs are. Now, many times He'll show you what your needs are based on that which is your walk with God and that which is your understanding of the Word of God. Then what happens? I take my needs to the Heavenly Father. I didn't understand all my needs, but He did, the Holy Spirit. I was not able to take and maybe even tell God about all my needs because they may be deeper than I can voice. But yet the Holy Spirit walks beside me in my entire Christian life. He walks beside me as a young believer. He walks beside me as a middle-aged believer. And yes, He walks beside me as a mature believer. So we understand this, that the Holy Spirit is going to go with me to God the Father. A statement, watch this statement. I say this, that we pray to the Father. You know that's scriptural. We pray through the Son. We know that is scriptural. And we pray with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit goes with you when it comes time to be able to go through the Son to the Father. Somebody says, well, I don't know what to pray for or what I should pray for. How in the world do I know? As you walk with God, God Himself, by way of the Holy Spirit, will guide you. Have you ever started to pray for something and you felt like as entering into that time of prayer, you felt like, yeah, I shouldn't be asking God for that. Have you been there? Has there ever been a time in your life when you prayed for something and you knew because of the Scripture that you understood that's not what you should be asking God to do? Have you ever been there? All right, the Bible talks about over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, through Him, now watch this, and the Bible says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit, unto the Father. So how is it that we have access? We have access to God by one Spirit. Who is that one Spirit? That one Spirit is God Himself. All right, so our access, if you would please, our access to God the Father, yes, is through the Son. We also understand that our prayer partner as we go to God the Father is the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a verse to chew on. You've never chewed on it this way perhaps before, but I want to give you a verse to chew on. Here it is. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. The Bible says this. The Bible says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree, listen to it carefully, shall agree on earth, touching anything on earth, it shall be done, listen to it now, for them. Now, wait a minute. So there's two agreeing, touching anything on earth, bringing it to the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father will do it. Two. Now, we just learned that when you go to God, you don't go by yourself. There's somebody that goes with you. If there is somebody that is going with you, that's two. So here's my question tonight. When you pray, do you agree with the Holy Spirit? When you pray, do you agree with the Holy Spirit? Well, how do I know, preacher, if I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit? Okay, let me ask you something. If you're praying for something that is against the Word of God, would you say that the Holy Spirit would not agree with you? See, the more you know your Bible, the easier it is to pray, here it comes, in the will of God. The more you're outside of your Bible and you do not know the Bible, the less likely it is for you to pray understanding God's will. God's will is not a mystery. Most of God's will that you need to understand, adopt, and obey is found in the Word of God. So if you're trying to do something outside of the rim of the Word of God, do you think the Holy Spirit is going to give you peace about that? You think the Holy Spirit's going to guide you to do that? Here's my question. So do you agree with the Holy Spirit? Now, to agree, it means to be, if you would please, in symphony with. It means to be in harmony with. Okay, so when you're praying for something and you don't have peace about it, here's my question. Why are you praying for it? Here's another question. Maybe you don't have anything to do with peace, but here's the question. You're praying for something that you know is counter to that which God instructs in the Bible. Here's my question. Then why are you praying for it? God is going to be God. The Holy Spirit is always going to agree with God. Always. You ever start to pray for something and all of a sudden you don't have peace? You ever start to pray for something and say, man, I know I'm asking God. Okay, give you an example. The Bible says that we're not supposed to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Is that correct? All right, if that is correct and you start to like a girl, like a boy, if you will, talk about pre-marriage now, and that's an unbeliever, and God says you're not supposed to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, then my question is this, why would you pray for such? Because if you know it's not the will of God, why go there? Because you're not in agreement with the Holy Spirit. I'm so sorry, but we live in an age where it seems like that everybody makes decisions not based on Bible, but they make decisions based on emotions. They make the you see people. Here's what they do today: they go and they join a church, and you say, "Why'd you join that church?" Because I felt the Spirit. You ever hear that? Well, I just feel good in that place. Well, I'm sorry, but feeling good might not be exactly what God's will is for your life. Sometimes you ought to go to a place where the Bible is true, whether it makes you feel good or not. You don't go to a doctor because the doctor makes you feel good. You go to the doctor because you need healing in your physical body. Might it be that you ought to choose church the same way? Amen. You choose to go to a church not necessarily because it makes you feel good, but you go to a church simply because of the fact that it is where you receive truth, yes, uncompromisably. Amen. May I say that the Holy Spirit, as we hermogenize, if you will, please, with the Holy Spirit, as we're in sync with Him, then we know what to pray for. Acts chapter 15 is a very interesting verse that I studied. Acts chapter 15, verse 28, the Bible says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." Isn't that something? So the Holy Spirit is in sync with us, or should I rather say that we are in sync with the Holy Spirit? "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us," they say, "and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." So the Bible says it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Now I want you to notice there's agreement. Oh, please, please understand that if you're praying for something that is not found in the Bible, then you have no grounds for God to answer prayer. There was a fellowship between the Holy Spirit and the apostles. It's very evident. They had communion with the Holy Spirit. They were in harmony one with the other. You ever hear an orchestra play and somebody's out of sync? Doesn't make a pretty sound. You ever hear somebody and they are doing a fantastic job on the piano, but then all of a sudden they hit a note that should not be hit? You realized it, the person that hit the note, and everybody around you realized it. Did you know it's very evident to see somebody that goes outside the boundaries of God's Word if you know the Bible just like you know the piano? Here's what we understand, when we have communion with the Holy Spirit, there's harmony between God and man. That's why the Bible says over in Psalm 37 and verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Where do you find that? You find that in delighting. John chapter 15 and verse 7, here's what the Bible says. "If," that's a conditional clause, "if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done." So the Bible teaches there's an if. What's that mean? That means it's up to the individual believer. He says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you," He says, "then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done." Statement number one, I said the Holy Spirit is our prayer partner. Statement number two, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Statement number three, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us concerning things. Watch this. This is very good. The Holy Spirit, statement number three, intercedes for us concerning things, watch it now, for which we do not ask. Has anybody ever done something for you that you wanted done? You desired to have it done. You craved to have it done. But you didn't ask for it to be done. And what a blessing it was. Has that ever happened to you? See, the Bible says right here that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and I'm going to show you the verse, intercedes for us concerning things that we do not ask. Romans chapter 8, verse 27, the Bible says, "And He searcheth the hearts, knoweth," it says, "what is the mind of the Spirit." Now watch this very carefully. Here's this word intercession again. "Because He maketh intercession," watch it now, "because He maketh intercession for the saints according to" what? "According to the will of God." That's what He says. All right, so here's what we understand. This word intercession here is a little bit different than the one mentioned in verse 27. This word intercession is talking about not only does He go, if you would please, with you, as in verse 27, but He goes for you in verse 27. 26, with, 27, for. Here's what He does. He goes, and you may be praying for something, and God hears what you're praying for, but the Holy Spirit also interprets that to God so that you don't miss out on some of the things that perhaps you just forgot. Have you ever done this as a preacher? I have. Have you ever gotten up to preach a message, and then you finish the message, you walk away and say, "Man, I wish I would have said that." Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever done that as a Sunday school teacher? But you know the Holy Spirit can work with believers? Did you know that?
Amen.
Did you know that? That's how come I say every message that's preached, it's preached, if you would please, in a fashion whereby the Holy Spirit leads the preacher, but the Holy Spirit also gives a personal application. Two people listening to one message can get an entire different truth, direction, or wisdom out of that particular message in two total different directions. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is very personal. He loves you for who you are. So the Holy Spirit coming before, if you would please, on your behalf, goes to God and he mentions those things that perhaps you just forgot. So he not only goes with you, but he goes for you. And then lastly, let me say this. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and here's what the Bible teaches right here. The Bible says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." See, here's the deal. We want all smiles. We want all ups. We want everything to be perfect and right. We want blessing. We want promises. We want our life to be happy beyond compare. We want to be able to enjoy all the thrills of life without any valleys whatsoever. That's what we want. But sometimes, have you experienced it already? Life is not all smiles. Have you experienced it already? Life is not all joy. Life has its bumps and life has its gutters, has its pot holes in the road in which you're driving down that road, if you will. All right, so since it's not all smiles, it's not all whistles, sometimes there's tears. Well, that's where this verse comes in. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that," here it is, "to them that," there it goes, "love God." Do you love him? Then you know that all things are going to work together for good. If you don't know that, it's because you're not loving him like you should, and I dare say you're not trusting him like you should. Because if you really loved him and you really trusted him, you know that he's in it for your good. He's in it to try and help you. The Bible says, "To them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." Sometimes you have to go through the valley in order to fulfill his purpose. Sometimes the smiles will not be there. Why? Because that's not fulfilling his purpose. Sometimes the health will not be there. Why? Because it doesn't fulfill his purpose. Sometimes there's a financial reversal. Sometimes there's a break in friendship. Sometimes there is a marriage, a struggle. Oh, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't say, "Well, God, I'll tell you what, it's just not fair that I'm going through this." When you're saying it's not fair, that's because you're putting your purpose ahead of his purpose. God has a greater purpose for you, greater than what you personally can see or understand. So when I walk with God, the Holy Spirit can help me to be able to understand things I knew not. He can guide me to places of wisdom that I've never been. He can help me to become stronger that I never saw. If I understand it's all according to his purpose. We all like to be on top side. My question is, can you love him just as much when you're on bottom side? We all like to have things, but my question is, if you go through the valley, like God took one of the richest men of the day by the name of Job and took everything away, could you still say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord"? Can you still say that? You can if you're living in his purpose and giving your total life to the one that matters most, and that is God. How do I do that, preacher? Get to know the Holy Spirit. Father, help us tonight. We thank you for the privilege of being able to come for a Bible study.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.